from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is The Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net bonus podcast, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jacob Fortan.
I'm Ryan Harkness.
You know, I was wondering the other day if we're ever going to look back at advertising on the web and laugh. Because you know what? Have you noticed that there's only two kinds of ads now? The ones that are showing you how to lose belly fat and get ripped. And the other ones are usually just other credit scores or bullshit.
Credit scores or mortgage, and it always has that 8 out of 11 people get this mortgage thing, and they have a picture of a guy who's clearly supposed to look like a terrorist. And I'm like, if you've ever wondered how they're all put together, they basically show a list of pictures to people. It's very scientific, and that's the cool thing about it. This is science for evil. Where they have
science
people,
for evil.
Where they have people look at pictures, and they determine which pictures will draw the eye the most to ads, because otherwise people don't want to look at them. I mean, those belly fat ones where it shows the people with the disgusting lines, stretch marks, and everything.
But it also shows sometimes like weird drawings of people that are fat, which doesn't make any sense to me.
And it's got the dancing people. No, it's very scientific. It's all these surveys where they get people to say, like, which of these do you notice the most? They even have, like, eye recognition. It is crazy. Okay, don't look at it so much of it as a science. Let's look at it as marketing and advertising people hacking us down to the core of our brains so that they can basically make us do what they want us to do.
I just find it really, really embarrassing that major companies are not really advertising that much on the web. In Great Britain, it turns out that there are more people that browse than watch TV.
Yeah.
Okay? But still, no one has jumped on this whole advertising on the web bandwagon. I mean, you get paid this just ridiculous pittance for fucking having ads on sites where thousands of people visit. There's zero recognition of value online, and companies cannot figure that shit out. It's embarrassing.
Here's the problem, because once again, they needed scientists to come in and figure out how to make people look at the ads. Because when you go to a website, do you ever even notice the advertisements on there?
I do, just because they're terrible.
I generally don't. I just zone them out. I've gotten very good at fucking... I don't even have an ad blocker. My brain is an ad blocker.
So what? I mean, you zone out when you watch ads on TV?
No, they drive me insane. When I go down to the States and visit my parents, like around here, we don't have cable. We just download and watch everything. So no commercials. So I go there, and by the end, I want to throttle that fucking Geico lizard. I want to kick that pile of money with eyeballs on it. And that caveman, whoo.
Yeah, those are terrible.
They're awful. They're absolutely
American
awful.
Commercials are just even more upsetting than the kinds we get up here in Canada, because for the most part, I mean, we get some of the same commercials, but in the States, it's just... It is unrelenting. Like, they'll show the same three ads again and again and again.
And I'm sure there's been some kind of study that shows that if you really drill it into people's heads,
I guess
works
that's
better.
The way. That's the way. I feel to some degree that major corporations are lagging behind when it comes to this trend. I'm like...
The trend of getting onto the internet.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that there's still all this trust that, you know, television is where it's at. And I'm like, you better get out of that bandwagon, guys, because it is fucking dying slowly.
I just think that the television is more of a passive, dumb media, and therefore it lends itself more to advertising than the internet, which is kind of more of an interactive...
I would disagree. I think that, you know what, in the future we'll notice that ads aren't just something that you place as a fucking banner. I mean, that's just old school, man. That's dumb.
Yeah, it is.
We just, you know, like, honestly, what I'm saying is that the reason I feel embarrassed is because no one has kind of gone beyond this formula.
Are you dreaming of The Good Atheist brought to you by Pizza Hut? Is that what you're...
I don't even know if that makes sense. I would never even imagine what kind of advertising we would have on Good Atheist.
It'd be like, screw the chapel. Visit the hut.
Exactly.
Make it your Sunday brunch destination.
I suppose the only reason I'm thinking about this is because the site is really kind of, you know, growing and more people are visiting it. And then there's always in the back of your mind saying, well, what happened if it got big enough where it really started being profitable to put advertising? And then you're like, but who would fucking advertise? That's the honest question.
Advertising networks.
I don't know. I think they would stay away from, As much guff as we get on the other side, for MMA for being controversial. I mean, atheism is itself fairly controversial.
But here's the funny thing about it: you could say that Tim Tebow is going to kill pregnant women, and advertisers won't care. But as soon as you say fuck, everybody loses their mind. So that's the big problem.
Well, it's a really very it's a strange thing in the U.S. In particular about some of the things that they feel very sensitive about. They hate sex and they hate foul language. Actually, if you go to the American Library Association's website and you check out the reasons why books get censored, the number one reason is references to sex. The number two reason is foul language. Now, in that list is other stuff like racism, violence, and they barely register. Barely. But over there, it's like if you make any mention to sex, everybody loses their fucking minds. And if you say a swear word, everybody loses their fucking minds. You know, if you actually go to iTunes and you read some of the comments on our podcast, the biggest complaint from some of the commenters leaving reviews is the foul language. And I'm like, there is an explicit warning on the fucking podcast, but people are still like, well, the language is very upsetting, bro.
I do try and make sure that my swearing, like, fuck isn't the new That's my promise to you.
I don't even
listener.
Care. I really wouldn't even care if it was, because I think that to some degree we have to get over this fear of foul language. What the hell does it even mean? It doesn't mean anything. It's just, for me, the reason why I like foul language is because you can emote things a lot better using a swear word. That's what's so great about them. You're pissed off. You're not going to say, well, those heckin' frig balls are like this. We're saying those fucking assholes. It feels so good to say it.
I do like frig balls, though.
Frig balls. Speaking of frig balls, today we're going to be talking about gays in the military, and we're also going to be talking about one frig ball in particular, James Ray, who has been indicted for manslaughter, three counts of manslaughter. We'll explain that later. But first, I want to talk about gays in the U.S. military.
We should change the name of this show from The Good Atheist to The Gaytheist.
Well, that name is already taken. And can I help it if I'm standing in full support of my gay brothers and say, well, although I'm not gay myself, I am in your corner, motherfuckers.
Well, this one's interesting because it's not just specifically about gay rights. This is about rabbis coming out and talking shit about gays in the military.
Well, there was a coalition of 1,000 rabbis that basically came out and said the U.S. is actually thinking of repealing the don't ask, don't tell policy and just saying, well, you're allowed to be openly homosexual in the military, because anybody that's in the military right now, I mean, I've gotten emails from people, sometimes people have left comments saying, you know who's gay when you're in the Army. You just know, right? Mm. And everybody's just, people are cool with it. They're just cool with it. But who's not cool with it are, the normal rigmarole of jackasses from the religious right that are saying, oh, no, it's gays are evil and this should be illegal and it's going to demoralize the troops.
Yeah, the rabbi here was saying that on a practical side, it's going to lower the number of people who are going to enter the military because there's no gay people outside the military. And he says that you're going to lose a whole bunch of more people who are actually serving in the military because not only will they have to worry about their fronts, but their rears. This is literally what this guy fucking said.
It's not like it's not even thinly veiled bigotry.
He didn't do it as witty as I did, though.
No, but, he didn't. But yours was so witty.
And then, thank you. And then the other thing that he said was that it was going to bring back the draft because nobody was going to be willing to fight in a gay military.
Well, it's not the only thing he said. He basically,
oh yes,
he basically alluded to the fact that natural disasters are caused by behavior that God frowns upon. So he's saying, well, the tsunamis. He was saying that the attacks of September 11th were directly related to 13 months previously when the state of New York passed legislation to recognize same-sex unions. And they're like, we were there 13 months ago protesting this and praying that God would not rain down his holy punishment. And sure enough, 13 months later, the attacks of September 11th happened. There you go. It predicted in our holy books, this is what happens when you defy God's word.
Yeah, they say they gave they blame 9/11 on that. They blame Katrina. They blamed the tsunami. They blamed Haiti. They also said that the quote unquote licentiousness in Haiti.
I wonder what exactly they think was going on in Haiti all the time. And here, you know, don't you hate
sinning? Yeah. Sinning.
I just really hate how, you know, privileged white people get, you know, this feeling superiority when they're not having crazy disasters. And they're like, we must be doing something right. Well, the whole reason why the earthquake was so terrible was because people were living in shitty-ass shacks that collapsed under them. So was God really punishing them from the get-go, making them poor, making them eat dirt pies? It is just so atrocious to make statements like this. Do they not have even a fucking shred of decency? This is what upsets me about these jackasses. Like, they can just go ahead and say this, and really nobody holds them accountable for it. I mean, this is a coalition of 1,000 rabbis. This is a big deal. You know, this is a huge group. Didn't you say that this same coalition, if you use them as arbiters for disputes, their rulings are legally binding?
Yes. It's like, if you agree to go to these guys to have them arbitrate a dispute in civil court, their say is law.
Talk about scary. I mean, these are experts in nonsense. It's like, oh, the Torah is so old and it's full of wisdom. What are you talking about?
Oh, it's full
a dusty tome full of bullshit.
Because this is the interesting thing, because, you know, there's a YouTube video where this guy talks about it. I challenge everybody to go. You're going to be putting it up
on
right?
TheGoodAtheist.net. Remember to visit, dear listeners. Well, actually, if you're a bonus member, you had to visit, because that's the only way to get access to the feed. So you already know where the site is. Get your ass over there.
Check out the video, and here's the challenge. Try to listen to the whole thing. It's about 5 minutes long. I made it to 4 minutes. I think I did pretty good, because I was ready to stop it at like 2.5 once he's just... I mean, it's so disingenuous. Everything that he's saying is such a fucking lie. And
well, it's not just this asshole. There was Chris Matthews had this guy called Peter Sprigg, and he works for the Family Research Council, and they were talking about this same issue. And he basically got the guy to admit that it should be just illegal to be gay in general. You know, like, and this is the honest truth about these homophobic fuck faces, all right? When it really boils down to it, their objections to sort of gays coming out of the military, gays having civil rights, is just basically one thing. They think that it's morally wrong, and they don't want gays to have any rights. They're like, it should be illegal. You should be jailed, you know? And there are definitely some people who feel even more strongly about that. That gays should be executed. That, you know, they're more than happy of laws that say, you know, like in the Middle East, that say, well, you should hang gays. You know, it's like this behavior is specifically forbidden in the Quran and in the Bible. Which it is. Which it is. If you are a fucking Christian and you think, well, it's all right to be gay, you're a hypocrite bastard. That's what you are. You're a hypocrite piece of shit. Because if you read the Bible very specifically, it says that it is an abomination. All right? Read Leviticus. Homosexuality is apparently an abomination.
Yeah, but everybody glosses over Leviticus. But, I mean, these guys here are saying that it goes back to the days of Noah, where the flood was... Because this is the interesting thing.
Well, it's
Sodom and Gomorrah. The implication of the idea. And then, because this is where we need to be biblical scholars, I guess, to understand what the subtext going on in the Bible was. Was Noah's flood because people were ass-fucking? And Sodom and Gomorrah, I know sodomy being the name, it's the association. But if you actually go to the text...
Well, sodomy's not ass-fucking.
Sodomy is anything that's not procreative
that
sex.
That is correct.
Right?
That's right. That's what sodomy is. So oral sex is sodomy. Mm. So just so you know. And I mean...
Just don't tell your girlfriend you're going to sodomize her and not expect her to freak out.
There's the
technical...
freak out? I don't know if, you know, I don't know if my girlfriend would freak out.
Well, congratulations, Jacob. You get to sodomize people.
But yay, people. You make it sound like as if I go around doing this all the time.
Mm.
I'm not really that much of a sodomizer.
Mm.
Well, okay, maybe I am.
Didn't you once say that you would break up with any girl that didn't allow them to sodomize you? And now I'm using the technical term for sodomy.
Nice.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, yeah, I did say that.
Mm-hmm.
What? I mean, I have some fucking standards when it comes to sex. I'm sorry. I'm like, I don't want to be bored for the rest of my life. Jeez.
You're a sinner. You're exactly the kind of person that God sent the flood to destroy the world, to get rid of.
Well, I mean, I don't know if... Here's the thing. You could probably interpret how God was dissatisfied with humanity in a number of ways because, you know, they had turned their backs on him or... they were engaged in, what did he say? Licentious.
Is the word he continually yeah, used. And I'm like, at least throw some other stuff around there, like idol worship and everything else like that.
But you know what? It's the reason why God was angry will always reflect what you think the issues are today. They're like, this is the same as it was in the old days. You know, it could be just today it's like it's a lack of respect for elders, and tomorrow it's sodomy.
Pay attention to how I spin this fictional event that never even happened.
Exactly. I mean, it's like the whole Adam and Eve story of sin, you know? Like, any normal, even every moderate Christian will admit that there was no Adam. So what exactly did Jesus die for? I mean, because he's supposed to have absolved us from original sin. But obviously, if we're the product of evolution and there is no Adam and Eve, then there is no original sin and there is no need to die on the cross for this sin, which did not exist.
That's the beautiful thing about evolution is that it really, you can trip balls on that shit, and the more you think about it, the more it blows. Because that's the fun thing, is that at first you say, oh, evolution and religion can go hand in hand, but the more you think about it, the more it completely destroys it.
It really does. It's
so beautiful. I really do enjoy that.
Well, wasn't I saying before, isn't it fantastic that the first guy who proposed evolution by means of natural selection. Conclusion, bam, there is no God. That's the first thing. I mean, like, it's awesome because, yes, that is the conclusion that anybody else would reach. I mean, at the time, that was the last bastion of the religious. It was like, well, okay, it doesn't explain all these other things. It doesn't explain, you know, gravity can be explained without God. You know, cosmology can be explained without God. So many things can be explained without God. But he created life. And then when you're like, here's evolution, all of a sudden you're like, no! The arguments for God no longer hold. There is nothing left for an invisible deity, Sky Daddy, to really do. He's utterly useless.
Except cause natural disasters.
Oh, yeah, apparently. Because, you know, it's earthquakes are not caused by shifting tectonic plates, but rather by God's wrath.
God's wrath for people putting things in each other's
anuses. Can you measure that? Like, fuck the Richter scale. It's a God's wrath scale. You know, 7.1 on the God is angry scale. Be like, oh no, we must have done a lot of butt-fucking for that to happen.
Or scissoring. Don't forget scissoring.
Yeah, well, nobody cares about lesbians. What's wrong with you? No one cares.
I'm pretty sure the lesbians get a lot of heat when they try to adopt. Not as much as everyone else. And a lot of them just go where they just get inseminated.
They're fucking baby makers. They don't even need to worry about that shit. You know, they can just find a buddy of them that just wants to jack in a cup. And bam, they're pregnant. I mean, it's really hard for guys to get babies. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
I mean, even when you have your own children and you divorce your wife, say goodbye to your kids, buddy. You're never going to have kids. Men and kids, people don't want men having kids. That's the honest truth. You know, they were like, that's unnatural.
That's not our role. That's the whole thing.
Our role is inseminators.
Yeah, it's loosened up a little bit. Women are getting there as far as being able to go into the men's world, but men still have a little bit of a ways. And, you know, truth of the matter is we haven't fought that hard to get there. What's the name of that group? The guys that dress up like superheroes. There's a Spider-Man guy who, like, climbed a building to fight for his right as a dad to see his kids.
There's
some of that going on
now. Well, look,
now.
There's going to be some good dads out there. I mean, not everybody is a deadbeat dad.
No.
We always just remember those guys because they're like the... Well, there's a lot of them, but they're also overrepresented, in my opinion. You know, like we forget about all the good dads because those shitty dads are pretty damn shitty.
Well, you also have to understand that a lot of dads are judged based in the eyes of the mothers of the children, and, you know, they don't always get a fair shake from these people, especially if they're separated and no longer together.
Well, especially if you don't get access to your dad and your mom's creating the narrative of what happened. Oh, your dad was a piece of shit and he doesn't love you. You know what I mean? Like, it can poison you towards this individual. What I'm saying is it's not easy being a dad. If you are out there, you're a single man, you're listening to the show, let me tell you something. Pick the woman that you were going to have kids with wisely, my friend. Pick wisely. precisely.
Because all that stuff that doesn't seem that big of a deal, like, oh, she's controlling and unreasonable about certain things. I'll tell you what, certain things include children, and children are a big fucking deal.
Yep, it's almost like they can hold you hostage with them. It's amazing, because the whole thing is, as far as I understand, is that once you have kids, your brain actually changes. And now you're like your entire focus is on these little creatures, and you can't help it. You cannot help it. But now imagine that somebody else has control over when you get to see them, what you get to do with them. I mean, it would be a nightmare. I'm sure it causes a lot of fucking would-be dads a great deal of depression. You know what I mean? Like, just it must not be easy. Mm. Okay, now before we let's move on. I want to talk about the self-help industry in particular, because, you know, this is a... I have a bone to pick with self-help in general.
Well, first off, let me ask you to just refine your description of self-help, because we had this conversation before where you said that basically anything where anybody gives any advice is basically self-help. So let's get specific. You're talking about, like, self-help quacks? You're talking about Tony Robbins, brick smashing, firewalking? Are you talking The Secret? Are you talking what? Are you talking Oprah's blend?
The whole thing is that the self-help industry is a really broad industry. So it can incorporate anything from a person giving you advice on, say, how to better manage your life. You know, like we have that book. What's it called? Getting Things Done?
Getting Things Done,
and
yeah.
Technically you could consider that as part of the self-help, you know, blanket. But at the same time, the honest truth is the majority of the self-help books out there are not really practical guides. Rather, they're just sort of like
wishy-washy,
how to reaffirm your life, how to change your life by walking through coals and blah, blah, blah. I mean, look, when we were watching Tony Robbins in infomercials, we didn't see the crazy Tony Robbins, the one that was sort of like doing the whole firewalking shit. I mean, when you saw it seemed pretty normal stuff, like, oh, he's working with celebrities and making them believe in themselves.
He made Pamela Anderson successful.
Apparently, like, somehow. I'm pretty sure. Did he give her her breast implants?
Did he give her her job on Baywatch?
He also made Chuck Liddell apparently successful. Didn't he lose all those fights after he talked to Tony Robbins?
Yes.
Yeah, of course he did. Now, the thing about the self-help industry is it's not a self-regulating industry. It's the same thing as religion. You can have really charismatic individuals with fucking silver tongues and easy answers that just walk in, tell you what you want to hear, and you feel great. I mean, the thing about self-help, for the most part, is that people become addicted to it, because when you go to these self-help seminars, these people make you feel great about yourself. They're like, you are a winner. You know, you will achieve all the dreams that you want. All you need to do is believe hard enough. Overcome all these things. The reason why they do firewalking in a lot of these types of self-help things is that because when you do what seems to you impossible, because A, you don't know anything about firewalking, and B, you're an idiot, you tend to think, wow, I overcame firewalking through the power of my mind. Ergo, I can do anything that I want.
I can understand the idea that if you trick your brain into believing that, you could probably accomplish a lot more than you would if you just listen to your negative-ass self.
I don't know, because, you know, your negative-ass self tells you a lot of pretty fucking important things, like don't do this, don't put your life in danger, don't listen to this man. These are probably parts of your voices that you should hear. I think, though, that the real problem with the self-help industry, at least now, the way that it's... Because there's always shifts in terms of what they're really focused on.
And what they're shilling.
What they're shilling. And the most recent thing is that their shilling is based around kind of like this. The Secret is what shook up the self-help industry and geared it more towards this whole, well, if you believe in something hard enough, you will achieve it. It's
even kind of an offshoot of the American dream and the idea of a meritocracy to a certain degree. It's that next level where they say, first off, you can be anything you want to be so long as you work hard enough for it, which number one is a lie.
It's an absolute lie. I mean, how much stress does it cause on people saying, like, oh, well, the reason that I'm a failure is because I didn't try hard enough, or I'm not good enough, even though everybody else is succeeding. I'm like, you know, I think that a large portion of our anxiety is caused by this bullshit. You know, you cannot necessarily achieve anything that you want. Sometimes you will just have that lowly job.
Reality is a wall that you constantly have to try and get around.
And you might not be able to. You know, you might not be able to catapult yourself over that just gigantic wall of reality. But Anyways, more back to sort of like the self-help movement in general. Like the idea that I think the insidious idea of the modern self-help movement is just the fact that people are like, well, if you want something bad enough, you're going to get it. And you may recall that monstrosity, The Secret, remember the movie and the book?
Oh, there's another challenge. Try and sit through that whole thing.
Holy shit. I honestly, the only way I was able to do it was with someone else that I was able to kind of make fun and complain, because I tried watching that alone. And I just wanted to pull what little hair I have left out of my head. It's so brutal. It's so brutal because of some of the things that they say. Like, for instance, you'll watch that movie and they're like, well, they compare the universe to a genie. Literally to a genie. That if you wish for things hard enough and you put all of your focus on the things that you want, like that new car, or it's a very materialistic philosophy, actually, that you will get it, that the universe will give it to you, just as long as you're thinking about it hard enough. Now, let's put that in perspective. Let's imagine that you are just sitting around wishing for things, really all day, all the time. You're going to feel like a fucking failure when you don't get it, because of course you're not going to get it. Wishing for things does not make them happen. If they did, it would be a very different and much more awesome universe. I mean, imagine that. If the universe really was like a genie.
Sign me up for that.
Yeah. But unfortunately, that is not the reality. Now, one of the bigger names in the self-help industry is a guy by the name of James Arthur Ray. Actually, you can see him in The Secret, in the movie. He has a short role where he just talks about loving your pets or something weird. Or anyways, he's a strong believer in the laws of attraction. Wrote a couple books about it. And he had previously been in quite some trouble, because in a lot of these self-help seminars, they do the whole breaking the arrows with your throat thing. You ever see that?
Yeah.
All right, well, apparently one person got really hurt when the arrow broke and pierced their eyebrow. He did this other weird thing where he got people to dress as homeless people and wander the street, but then this one woman fell down this bridge and died, and they couldn't identify her, so he got in trouble for that. Anyways, he got into a lot of trouble because he's not an expert in anything. But most recently, in October of 2009... he held a sweat lodge in Sedona, Arizona. Now,
what the fuck is a sweat lodge?
Sweat lodge is kind of like an ancient Native American tradition where it's kind of like a sauna that people just go to, and it's very taxing. You go there,
and, like marathon sauna.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a marathon sauna.
To lose weight or to be visited by spirits?
I believe it's to kind of have some kind of spiritual vision. And I mean, if you dehydrate yourself long enough, you're going to trip balls. Let me tell you what. You will trip balls. But the thing is, how do I explain this? It's kind of like you take elements of Native American mythology and you just kind of run with it.
Mm-hmm.
So sweat lodges and Native American traditions, they're like, ooh, mysterious. Oh, the Native Americans were so wise. You know what I mean? Like,
so they're just cherry picking another aspect of ancient whatever to suit their purposes.
Exactly. So he organizes one of these sweat lodges in Sedona, which is the capital of New Age in America. It's Sedona, Arizona. Like, it's just, it's whack nut central. Go there if you want to meet a lot of stupid hippies. Let's just say that. Okay, they believe in vortexes and all this other kind of nonsense. So he has he does this whole lodge thing. Now, before they do the sweat lodge, they were on a 30. Most of these people who paid like up to $10,000 to attend this 3-day seminar, they were I think they had a 36-hour fast where they were spending like the night in the desert, presumably to have some kind of vision. Followed by gorging themselves at a buffet breakfast, followed immediately by the sweat lodge.
Buffet breakfast sounds nice. Not $10,000 nice, but buffet breakfast. I mean, so long as they don't concentrate on eggs, because I find the buffet eggs are very runny and gross.
Well, can you? Oh, yeah. No,
you know, you stay away from the buffet eggs.
Buffet breakfast in general is a fucking bad idea.
No, buffet.
It's gross.
Buffet breakfast is great because listen to me. You fucking make a car. Not even a car. You make like a millipede. Like, you lay down a layer of sausages, like 10, and then you fucking... it's like a raft, and then you plank it with bacon.
No.
And then you take a pancake. If you had
two
a choice,
pancakes, make pancake sandwich.
If
I just
you had a choice
that,
between any buffet, mm-hmm. you would pick breakfast buffet?
No, I would pick Chinese buffet.
It's the worst of the buffets. Mm. You know what I mean? I pick Indian, I pick Chinese, I pick all kinds of buffet. Yeah. Breakfast buffet? Let me tell you something. Breakfast is not my favorite meal of the day. It just sucks. Breakfast sucks. I mean, what you can eat, all you can eat gruel? Anyways. Now, the thing is, most of the time, if you have like if you do a whole sweat lodge thing, sweat lodges are actually pretty dangerous because you know people get dehydrated all the time, they get severely burned, which is why you can't wear metal jewelry because it's just that hot, where mm-hmm. the metal on your skin will burn you. So James Ray has no training in sweat lodges whatsoever. I mean, he experienced. I think he went to South America and did one. And all of a sudden, he was like, "Wow, I got to incorporate this in my retreat." He didn't have any medical staff on hand, and during the sweat lodge, according to witnesses, people were like passing out and vomiting, trying to leave, and he was like, oh, don't leave, this is all part of this whole experience, and stick around, and three people died, and 20 people had to be treated in the hospital for severe burns, kidney failure, severe dehydration. It's just a mess. It is a mess. So, most recently, today, he was arrested on three counts of manslaughter.
I like how,
with a $5 million bomb.
I like how the wheels of justice turn slowly.
Well, the one of the things that, at first, I mean, whenever somebody dies in one of these kind of retreats, the first thing is that they have to investigate whether or not it's just an accident, because it could be, honestly, an accident. I mean, imagine the buffet was contaminated with E. coli.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like, what are you supposed to do? Are you going to jail the guy because there was some bad eggs? It's tough. You know, you got to figure out, like, what are the charges that you're going to bring? And yes, the wheels of justice do turn slowly. But here's the really fucking hilarious things. Like, at first, he did not make investigating this very easy. Like, he stonewalled everybody. He called some of the victims with a medium. And the medium was saying, like, oh, I'm in communication with your deceased parent, and they're really happy up in heaven, and they're having a grand old time.
What, so the families of the people who died...
Yeah.
He got in touch with them to
That's
say
right.
that a medium told him that their relative who had died.
Well, he had
in his
this medium on the
lodge.
Phone. He had this yeah. medium on the phone with him,
and she contacted the people that he killed.
That's right.
And they told the family that they were very happy to be dead.
That is correct.
Wow.
He also offered to refund the families $5,000, which is not
like...
the entirety of the fee that he charged them.
Sweet. 50%
He's
back.
A really smart guy. I'm like, come on, dude. Like, would you not? I would settle immediately. I mean, if you charge $10,000 to these people, you probably made quite a bit of money. Now, the crazy thing that I was reading was that the deaths of these people in the sweat lodges did not deter some of his other some of the people that have been there in the past from going again. They still want to go. It might be more difficult now that he may potentially be in jail for the next fucking 20 years. But apparently, killing people is not viewed as really a big deal. Because other people are like, I learned so much from him. He's such a great man that I don't mind that three people died. I'm like, you, really? Why don't you go talk to these people's families? Why don't you put things into perspective, idiot? Do not go to this man's sweat lodges. I just hope that he spends the next few years in jail. And let's see if the law of attraction prevents him from being raped in jail. You know, let's just see how powerful that is. Can you wish yourself out of jail, buddy? Not sure you can.
I don't know how rapey the whole minimum security type place he would end up would be.
Manslaughter is not minimum security.
I'm pretty sure.
Three counts of manslaughter? You go to the hard,
pound me in the ass
jail.
Yeah.
It's manslaughter. It's not like he was... convicted of mail fraud. Okay, this is a pretty serious charges, manslaughter charges. And I'm sure, you know, judging by like I was reading a little bit about all the investigation that they conducted, they seemed like they were trying to be pretty thorough about it. They want him to pay.
Yeah, I saw that they were going through talking to all of the witnesses, people who had been there in the years prior, who had said this isn't safe. The landlord who leased him the land to build the sweat lodge said you can't keep doing it like this because it's too unsafe. Some of the people that helped him were
like, the Lakota Indians have filed a lawsuit against him, just essentially because they feel that it's disparaged their traditions so much because he was doing it so wrong.
Man,
yeah, they're trying to use an old old law enacted in like the 1890s or something like that.
The last law to benefit the Indians.
Yeah, exactly.
poor bastards.
I mean, I don't know how far it's going to go, but let's just say that James has probably seen, like, he's lived through the best of what he can expect. Like, it's going to go downhill from here. I mean, sure, he's going to have his hardcore contingent that will be true believers regardless, because, I mean, even people who still hate him will admit that he's a very charismatic man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, these guys are silver-tongued devils. They could convince you to do anything, including staying in a sweat lodge when everybody around you is dropping like flies. And, I mean, his position was like, well, I wasn't forcing anyone to be there, to stay there. I'm like, well, they had confidence in you. And that's really it. It's not forcing them per se, but if they put their trust in you and you're not deserving of that trust, then you are responsible for them. I mean, they're there in your sweat lodge. They make the assumption saying like, well, he knows what he's doing.
And you told them to stay. You told them it was all fine.
And it was not fine. And you know what? That's going to bite him in the ass. That's going to bite him seriously in the ass. But I guess in general, here's the thing. I mean, I know that a lot of people want to improve themselves. They want to improve their relationships with other people. They want to be better people. And I think that that's at the core of the self-help movement. You know, there's a lot of goodwill coming from people. There's just not a lot of really rational thinking or intelligence.
Well, this is where science fails people, because there's not a lot of really good scientific answers to these problems. Because guess what? We're hardwired to be miserable unless we're moving forward in a proper monkey like fashion. It's true.
And some have said that the whole purpose of lying is to lie to ourselves enough that we make life bearable, that we're like, well, what I do matters, the people around me love me. These may all be lies. And maybe to some degree we need those lies. So unfortunately, the truth is not very comforting. You know, when you really boil it down, when you're saying, like, we are the product of a random mutation, our lives are utterly without meaning. And
on the grand scale, we're about as important as ants or plankton or anything else.
Just nothing. And I guess that depresses a lot of people. But I'm going to tell you something. I think you should view it as taking the pressure off. You know what I mean? You don't matter. Relax now.
Even Britney Spears doesn't matter.
She really doesn't.
50 billion years from now, she won't matter one bit.
Yep.
No more than you.
It doesn't matter how many magazine articles she's appeared in. It's not going to matter. It's just really not going to matter. So you don't have to stress about this whole, oh my goodness, am I living a meaningful life? Like, you can try. Please try. But don't let that consume you. Don't let yourself be swindled by people who offer you easy answers and bullshit meaning in your life. And please, don't listen to anybody that's like, oh, all you got to do is wish for things and they will come true. I mean, no, come on now. I mean, does that even make sense to you? You want it to be true, and if that's the case, it probably isn't.
Hey, quantum mechanics says it's true.
Ugh, it's the most embarrassing thing about this whole movement, is that they start tossing around like quantum mechanics, like they know what they're talking about. And I'm like, if you need to use quantum mechanics to prove your argument, you have no argument. You know, if you're saying, well, because of these weird quantum states that electrons are in, therefore my bullshit philosophy is true. I'm like, what are you talking about? You're not making any sense. Zero sense. Okay, you know what? Let's wrap up the show. Before we go, I'd like to thank everybody for being a member. Now, some of you may recall that actually we're coming into almost the first year of
dun, 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 dun,
which means that I'm going to be after those of you that started your memberships in March, because that's when we launched it, to renew your memberships. Hopefully you will. I mean, we want to keep you guys as members for a long time. We want to keep doing this. We like doing it, and your support is both appreciated and necessary. So
we're kind of like PBS, but with zero funding from anybody other than listeners like you.
Yeah, PBS has it pretty sweet. They actually get some government funding. We get none.
Teensy tiny amounts of delicious government funding.
Yeah, maybe one day. Maybe one day.
Yeah, right.
No, really not. But until then, you guys are the ones that are
keeping this ship fucking afloat.
Yeah, keeping this ship afloat. And like I said, we'd like to thank you and say that we have plenty of really cool plans for the future. We want to be able to implement these plans. We're going to be changing up the website soon, and we're going to be doing T-shirts very, very soon.
Pins, buttons, posters, all sorts of fun things.
Yeah, there'll be lots of ways for you guys to support.
The crass capitalization of atheism.
Yep, exactly. We're going to sell out hardcore. With that, my name is Jacob Forte.
I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.